Oh, praise the Lord. You can have your seat. Can you have your seats? I always like deflecting the attention, deflecting the praise. So can we give Jesus a praise? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, one more time. Look at somebody else. I ain't feel that one. Say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, can we give God one more hand praise? Just because. Can we just give him a just because praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank my friend for having me, the North Central faculty for having me, you guys for having me. It's a blessing to be here. I think I came in the fall and was like, man, we got to bring you back. I was like, let's make it happen. It's an honor to know people that are people of their word. Amen. And sometimes they too good with their words. Man, that whole introduction, I don't recognize that, fella. I just somebody that loves Jesus and I rap a lot. And that's it. I just love the Lord and I rap a lot. Man, you're in Bible college. Give it up for yourself. Just give it up for yourself right now. Give it up for yourself. The sermon is just going to hit you as we're flowing. But I remember being in Bible college. I don't know if they do this here or if they still or at all. But when I was at Bible college, they had us take a test, a Bible test. They asked us all the necessary Bible questions. I had already been accepted, but it felt like I had to actually qualify. And I didn't feel like a Christian after the test. I'm just going to be honest. Anybody felt like that? You come to Bible college, you've been on fire for Jesus your whole entire life, and 60 questions puts all your faith in doubt. Anybody? Just me? Okay. And then I got one in the back. And then at the end of Bible college, 4.5, 5 years later, you don't want to think about a Bible ever again, right? You came in with this burning love for Jesus Christ. And after your New Testament class, you didn't want nothing to do with those 66 books. And then they have the nerve to hit you with those same 60 questions to see if you've learned anything. I'm like, Lord, do I got anybody? Okay, and it's just me. Speaking of Bible, I just completed the Read the Bible 90-Day Challenge. And it was tough. Don't ask me what I remember. Now I know what the scripture means when it says the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. Right? Because I'm like, I read that. I don't remember reading that. Most of it was on the audiobook anyway. So, praise God for those that were going to that ministry that know how to read well. But what stood out to me in Psalms was, Psalms was written, a lot of it was written by David. And those are poems. Where I'm from, they would be called raps, right? And they communicated this range of human emotion. And a lot of times, David was just battle rapping, sometimes against the forces of darkness, sometimes against his own sin nature, sometimes against the fear of death. All that'll make sense in a minute. But they was raps. And one of the most outstanding lines in his raps was loving faithfulness. How loving and how faithful our God is. That's what I remember from the book of Psalms. Just that, it kept showing up. It didn't matter if he was mountain high or if he was valley low. It didn't matter if he was remembering his grave mistake with another man's wife. Let's just be real about it. And the consequences it brought his entire household. There was something still loving and faithful, not about himself. This man after God's own heart. No. Not about himself, but about God. The same God that anointed him and filled him with the Holy Spirit when he was just a teenager, watching sheep, not qualified to be king, not even looking to be called, just watching sheep. And that same God said, it's not his older brothers, it is him. The same one that was bold enough to face a giant that his brothers weren't bold enough to go out and face, that the king wasn't bold enough to go face, but the kingdom and the reputation of our God was on the line. It's that man who finds himself in iniquity, who finds himself bringing a sword to his home. But in light of all of that, he says, God, I still see you loving faithfulness at work. In spite of who I am, in spite of what I'm facing, in spite of the enemies, in spite of all that's around me, my cup overfloweth because of your love. And yes, I had to go through a valley to get there, but your love got me through this valley. Yes, I had some shadows of death to face, but your love and your faithfulness finally got me to. So I know what he means when it says, look, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house. So that's all David wanted. You see, it wasn't a physical building. He wasn't able to build the temple. He had to give the instruction to Solomon. He had too much blood on his hands. But he said in his heart of hearts, he saw it in the spirit. It's yes, God deserves the physical temple, but I'm at home in his presence. That's what he meant. He says, in your house, I will dwell. That's where I want to stay. And that home was the presence of God. Can we praise God for his presence and the loving faithfulness of his presence? All right, worship team, that's the sermon. You can come back up. Just playing. All right, I guess I gotta preach a little bit. All right, so speaking of battle rap, the title of this sermon, this message is Hallelujah and Battle Rappers. All right, once again, we already established that Psalms, for me, is a book of battle raps, either against the forces of darkness, sin nature, or the fear of death. And this, and you'll see, right, that this there is something to battle rap when it comes to our God, and there's something to battle rap in light of who our God is, in light of the forces of darkness that our God is over and has given us the power to overcome in Jesus. There's something to battle rap even against ourselves. There's this thing that Paul wrestled with in Romans 7. It was his sin nature. He recognized that he wanted to do good, but there was something else at war on the inside of him. And then there's something to battle rap against death and the fear that comes with it that drives our selfish motivations, people that don't believe they got long to live, do some crazy and foolish things. Amen. If you was one of those people, I still might be one of those people. Thank God for his loving faith and forgiveness. Amen, somebody. But hallelujah in front of it all. Because there is a hallelujah and a praise the Lord, because it's not my power. It's not our power. It's the power of our Lord that allows us to be more than conquerors. Before I get ahead of myself, I got a line, not from someone from, not from Psalms, but a battle rapper. And it goes like, they got some lines, and it went like this. It goes like this. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it? Or just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous. But on the surface, he seems calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting the words he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth. But the words won't come out. He's choking. How? Everybody's joking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Blow. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. I believe you guys get the reference. It's a battle rapper named Rabbit. B-Rabbit. And he's wrestling with, he's about to go on stage and face another battle rapper. And he's just communicating the genius of this writer. And how he communicates the nervousness that he feels going into this moment and then blowing the moment. He's wrestling with either losing himself or losing the moment. And like many of us going into ministry, like many of us right now, we are wrestling with, do I actually have to lose myself to gain this moment? What if I can't lose myself? Or what if I am losing myself and losing the moment? What if my words aren't good enough? My appearance isn't good enough? What if my stature, my knowledge isn't good enough? What if my gifts aren't good enough in this moment with myself? For those battling insecurity and depression and all manner of thoughts that come against the identity that God gave me, this moment with my family member. I was sitting with a man yesterday talking about his moments with his son that is addicted to some horrible drugs. And it's communicating losing those moments with his son for the sake of protecting his other sons and his wife. Losing, he doesn't know what to do. Losing these moments, losing moments with the youth that we have been given charge over, that we've been tasked to work with and disciple and help. And they just can't get right. And you're doing all that you can. You're praying all that you can. And they still steal. And they still disobey. And they still go against the character of Christ. You're like, come on. Why are you so like me when I was your age? Because of the gospel of Christ, we have become battle rappers who don't have to lose themselves
or the moment, because Jesus Christ lost himself for the moment. My word of encouragement simply to you is hallelujah, praise the Lord. Can we say it together? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, can we say it with some umps? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Just one more time, hallelujah, praise the Lord. All right, so just real quick, some theological framework for this. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. One, it's a joyous praise. This Hebrew command, it's a joyous. It's not one of hallelujah, praise him. No, it's hallelujah. In light of it all, you know when joy means the most? When you don't feel joy the most. It takes the attention off of your efforts and puts it on God's loving faithfulness. Even if I don't see my way through it, because God is with me, I'm going to make it through. So it's hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then it's also in God I boast. Because it's not me. Once again, hallelujah, praise the Lord, takes the attention off of me and puts it on God. You know why Peter was able to take two steps on water and then the next three he was sick? Because he took his focus off of God. That was it. Peter was able to do the impossible as long as he faced God, as long as he kept his eyes on God. Yes, the storm was raging. Yes, it makes natural sense for people to drown when they try to walk on water. It was the improbable, but we're able to do beyond our own measure when the focus is God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord is a reminder to ourselves, a reminder to the forces of darkness, and a reminder to death itself. The focus isn't you. It isn't me. It isn't us. It's God. Oh, and praise the Lord. This praise the Lord, this hallelujah, praise the Lord isn't just hallelujah, praise the Lord. For the believers in the Old and New Testament, it's hallelujah, praise the Lord versus all of the Lords. Only God gets my praise. I don't care what the situation says. I don't care what I'm saying. I don't care what you say. Only God's getting his praise. There's some little context real quick. When it comes to battle rapping, that's exactly what it is. It's the art of lyrical warfare. It's you versus another, or it's a group of y'all versus another group of them. And we're standing on ours. We're boasting about ours, and we're crafting our words to humiliate you and who you represent. So I don't suggest going into battle rap. I really don't. I really don't. I just don't. But spiritually speaking, that's exactly what they were saying when it was hallelujah, praise the Lord, because Abraham, who God called to start this ball rolling when it came to cultivating a nation that would lead all nations back to him, Abraham was called out of a polytheistic family, meaning a whole bunch of lords you could choose to give your praise to. And God was saying, it's time to come out of that. It's time for you to praise me and me alone as originally intended, because Adam, he lost himself and the moment, right? But God was saying, there was a lamb, though, slain before the foundations of the world. I saw humans eventually losing themselves and the moment. So I put the win before the problem showed up. So Abraham is, we got to keep this going because there, I got a son I'm about to send so that they can see. Anyway, so Abraham, y'all Bible majors and stuff. Y'all know this. So Abraham's caught, but then he's given a prophecy. And the prophecy was like, your descendants are going to be foreigners in the land for 400 years. And that was the Exodus. We got some lines from the Exodus. So Exodus 12 and 12, check these lines out. I'm going to turn around because my vision. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn male, both man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Next one, please. Now Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, check this one out, priest, meaning he gives his allegiance to other gods regularly. And this is Moses' father-in-law. Okay, but it makes sense because there's no other monotheistic religion out there. So, of course. All right, Jethro, the priest of Midian, heard about all that God had done for Moses and his people Israel and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods. For he did this when they treated Israel with arrogance. Then Moses' father-in-law Jethro brought a burnt offering and sacrifice to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Yeah. Is there one more? I think there's one more. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down, utterly break down, vehemently break down their images. How many image bearers of God do we have in the room? Raise your hand. That should be all of us. And God gave them the command, when you go into those foreign lands, mess their images up. He wasn't talking about the humans, because all humans are made in the Imago Dei. He was talking about these statues erected. He says, mess those images up, because there's only one true image of God on earth. That is, last one, Deuteronomy 6. The Shema. This is where we get the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Unique. That's what this word one is signifying. It's unique. There's no God like him. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I'm going to go to it in my little Bible on stage. We got to, I like how this verse continues. Go like this. Oh, that's Joshua. That's not Deuteronomy. Sorry, I be talking out loud. My thoughts be having thoughts. Okay. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving to you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them, wrap them to your children. Talk about them, wrap them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. Before there was a mark on the beast on somebody's hand or forehead, God already in Deuteronomy, because the mark of the beast ain't talked about to Revelation, God already gave us the solution. Put it on your forehead, put it on your hand. Okay, anyway, bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your cities, and make sure every other god knows, every other demon knows, every other principality, every other power and wickedness and high place knows, this house and the people in this house, we belong to God. So hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so I'm going to use my rapper skills to get through these next parts. So the next slide, please. The first mention of praise the Lord, it's actually here. And she conceived again and bore a son and then said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased childbearing. Who was she? Leah. Leah is the husband, the wife of, that was a Freudian slip, is the wife of Jacob. And Jacob is loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. It actually says that. And God saw that Leah was unloved and then therefore opened her womb, gave her three children before she got to Judah. And all three children, I think it was Simeon was then Reuben. And then there was one more, maybe Levi. I don't know. It was one of them. So there was three. All right, go read Genesis 29 if you want to find out. Okay, there was three. And all of them were named after her affection and longing for Jacob. They were all named to get Jacob's attention. That's why they were given the names they were given. And so it says, Leah conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Reuben, for she said, the Lord has seen my affliction. Surely my husband will love me now. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and the Lord heard, and I am unloved, and give me a son, so I will name him Simeon. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have given him three sons for him. Therefore, Levi. And it didn't work out. This time, she says, on this fourth son, I'm turning my praise to God. Okay, my husband ain't loving me, even though I'm giving him children. I'm giving him inheritance. I'm giving him namesake. I'm going to turn my praise to God. And she named the child after the praise due to God. Judah literally means praise or praise ye. And then look at the significance of that. Judah is the namesake of the tribe that David would come from, that God would establish the eternal kingdom through. And then Judah is also the name of the kingdom, the southern kingdom, after the kingdom split, after Solomon's reign. We got the kingdom of Israel, we got the kingdom of Judah. And then Judah is also the tribe that the Messiah comes out of. And then Judah himself is connected to the line that brings the Messiah into the world. And it's this son that she says, on this one, I turn my praise to you, Lord. The one that I want to love me is not loving me, but you love me. So hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm putting that in my son's namesake as a reminder. Every time I look at him, it's a reminder to stop looking at man. And that's what we all need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's more, but we're here. This is where the Spirit wants us to park. Can we all stand? Battle rappers bringing this full circle. A couple statements just to throw out there for you to think about. One, hallelujah is the chorus to the greatest battle rap ever. The gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You can start playing something nice and soft and like altar call-ish. I grew up here, so my family's, we grew up Church of God in Christ. Our convocations were here. So we love altar call-ish sounds. All right, I got like 2 minutes to get you guys to class. Okay. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. The course to the greatest battle rap ever. The gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if I would just give you this three verses to go along with hallelujah, praise the Lord, it would be this. Verse one, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Christ is champion, and that means everything works together for the good. Two, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Imago Dei wins. And that means no need for the filters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The story is finished. And that means there's no ending to fear. You see, what that rapper eventually had to realize when it came to his final battle, he had to embrace who he truly was. All of who he truly was. Because that's what the enemies were using against him. His shame. They were using his shame against him. They were bringing out all the bad things about him. And the crowd was doing what the crowd does. He said, I'm going to take that power away from the enemy. I'm going to name who I am before my enemy names who I am. And then I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to name who the enemy is. Clarence, you grew up with great parents. You're the pretender here. You ain't from the hood. You grew up in affluence. What you doing here? Why are you here with us? You went to a private school. You should have a 401k. You should be making six figures. Why are you here on this 8-mile track with us, rapping like you've been through? You ain't been through the mud with us. Your shoes ain't dirty. And what did Clarence have to say? Nothing. He had nothing to say against the one he was facing because the one he was facing was able to embrace the truth about himself. So there was nothing to say in there. And then Clarence was the one embarrassed because he was out. Okay, well, all that to say, that's what Jesus does for us. He allows us to embrace all that we are in him. And there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For while we were sinners, God showed us his love this way. Christ died for the ungodly. You were loved beyond imagination, before you could even attempt to think about what does it mean to get right with God. God already made space for you to be in a relationship with him. His loving faithfulness covers it all. It's the forces of darkness. It's sin nature. It's death. They are the pretenders. They have no hold on us. They have no hold on the child of God. We are loved, and the truth has set us free. Therefore, there is no moment to lose. Only eternity to gain. So hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you.